Good evening, and welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow, and I'm doing the show just with John Radamus.
Yo.
Sue, sorry you couldn't make it back in time, but I hope you're having fun with family and friends, and, remember...
Resting up. Sue had an awesome week, apparently.
Great. Well, so. just remember to delete all the photos, pick up all the shell casings, and wipe down for prints. And you should be good. So.
Don't forget the lie.
That goes without saying. Actually, we can recommend some fine attorneys if needed be. So.
We're a pig farm.
Don't make me start quoting from Lock Stock. Guy Ritchie. Anyway, welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, where we are seen to be punchy and we're going to start pulling out quotes. Do you know what nemesis means?
Desert Eagle 0.50.
Whereas on the side of your gun, it says replica. Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
this is going to be fun. All right.
Yes. Fun for us. I hope our listeners will agree. We're doing the Civil Politics here. Without the actual study person, preparer thing person, words, no good.
I think you wanted to talk about the TikTok ban first.
Yes.
But first, if you want to contact us.
Yeah, we could do that. By all means, email us contact@civilpoliticsradio.com, which is, of course, our dedicated website with all of our own stuff and recordings of previous episodes and et cetera, everything you'd expect to find. And more? Less? Which is the better tagline?
Everything that you're expecting to find. Exclamation point.
Right. Okay.
Spelled out with an exclamation point at the
exclamation
end.
Exclamation point!
Right.
All right. Thank you.
No problem. I'm here to help.
Yeah, that's you're a pro. So, TikTok, the current biggest social media site in the USA, as far as I know. I mean, are the kids moving on to something else yet, or?
I don't think it's the largest. It is the most popular with the younger demographic.
Right.
Facebook, I think Facebook is still reigning supreme along with, I heard someone call it Twix.
Yeah.
But along with Twitter, TikTok is growing very popular. There's 100, as far as I know, there's 170 million users in the US.
That's quite a lot.
And 10 times that worldwide.
I believe it.
Yeah. So
it's not a site I use very much because I have this crazy notion that I do most of my web browsing on my laptop, and TikTok doesn't seem to like that. So whenever I log into my account and say, hey, I'd like to follow these people on TikTok, it goes, okay, sure. Don't you want to follow anybody? And I go, but I want to follow these people. It's like, but don't you want to follow anybody?
Yes, TikTok is primarily made for phones. That's what it's for.
Right. I get that. But it's bad enough that they're trying to, that it's getting its filthy, filthy cookies on my laptop. I also don't want it to, have my location data as I walk around with my phone.
You know, it is a cloudy day, so I see that that's what you're yelling at. Do you want TikTok to get off your lawn as well?
That would be lovely.
So TikTok is a video sharing site.
Like Instagram, but better?
Like Instagram reels. YouTube Shorts was actually created as to try to get users back from TikTok. Short form videos between like 30 seconds, and some people can go up to 10 minutes. You know, like everybody hears about like dances and challenges and stuff, but when Twitter got bad, and that's a relative term. When Twitter got bad after Musk bought it, I was like, I'm done. I can't take this anymore. I need something else to occupy my mind, or else the weasels inside will run around too much. So I went on TikTok and I started following a lot of creators that there's one guy that is a Bible expert. There are people that do like politics and comics and cartoons and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff other than, you know, like what Gen Z is into, I guess. And that's how social media works. Like, it gets introduced, younger people start adopting it. And then they start aging up, and then more people older start going there, and then it's not good anymore, and you have to go to another one.
Right.
It's like a meme. It's like a joke. Like, as soon as like people that are 50 or 60 start using it, it's done. It's, you know.
Yeah, I presume, because it, like, if I've heard of it, then clearly it's been around, or it's gotten enough amplification.
But because it's so popular, and because especially during, like, after October 7th, there's a lot of reporting and news that has been suppressed by different sharing sites, different algorithms and things like that. So a lot of people have been posting these unfiltered views of about the conflict in Palestine on TikTok, and that's how people are learning more about it. And I've really thought about it.
Like little girls posting, like, you know, sitting with their cat and asking their cat, you know, when we get killed, please don't eat us, eat strangers.
Yeah. Stuff like that, that you don't see, you won't see on the news or anything. And that's important. It kind of reminds me of, during the civil rights protests, people wouldn't really pay attention until it was on TV.
Yeah.
You know, like the brutality and stuff, the hoses and the dogs, like they could actually see it. It's kind of like that. So more people, and this is why a lot of people, like even like my age and younger, are saying like, we don't know if we want to vote for Biden, because we see all this stuff. And we learn about this stuff, and it's divorced from any other sort, like major source of news. And a lot of people, like 25 and younger, get their news like specifically from TikTok. So, anyway, explaining all that, the Congress.
But it's also owned by a software company from China.
Yes, it is owned by a company called ByteDance. That is based in China. And that is where we get into trouble with the Congress, because everybody's upset about China. So the thing,
they are a major geopolitical rival to our hegemony.
Specifically a foreign adversary.
Yep.
And
is that a legal term?
Yes, apparently.
Oh, interesting.
That is, well, it's defined in the bill. That everybody's talking about. There is a bill that just got fast tracked through the House that is ostensibly, effectively, a TikTok ban. What the bill is that it says if you own TikTok and you are based in a foreign adversary, then you cannot own this site. You need to sell it. You need to divest from it. So it's ever like if someone says it's not a ban, it's technically not a ban, because ByteDance, if they sell TikTok to another company, and I'm sure the House is saying preferably an American company, then the site will remain up. But if ByteDance doesn't, then it will be taken down off of any service in the United States.
So
and maritime.
It'll still be available elsewhere in the world.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I could still hop on a VPN and say, yes, I'm in the UK.
Yeah, whatever. But the follow button still won't work for you.
Right. Which, I mean.
But, yeah.
Look, I'll tell you what really bothers me about it is it's telling me that the Chinese military-industrial complex doesn't think I'm worth the bother of following. They have millions of people doing programming and hacking and all kinds of stuff like that. They can't bother to adapt their software architecture to allow ease of use by people on laptops. Am I so unworthy of their trolling and data scraping and profiling and following and everything? Am I that boring to spy on?
We were just quoting a, 30-year movie back and forth?
I don't...
Yes. Yes, you are that. Oh. We are that boring, yes. This is what we do for fun. Yes.
Yes.
So the problem the House has is that China just passed a law in, I think, 2017 that says any entity or any private citizen of China, if the government wants, you need to turn over data that you control, right, for investigative and intelligence reasons.
I blanked for a moment. Was that our government or the Chinese government?
Right now, we're talking about the Chinese government.
Right. Okay. Because I know we do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. So it's very hypocritical. So the Congress people that are talking about it are saying we don't want China to have that because they can request all of the user data from these 170 million Americans to do God knows what, even though who cares?
Well,
unless you're like a high level official doing a TikTok dance in a secure facility.
Which some of them might be.
It has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But in other words, if we're going to have that kind of, you know, detailed data profiling of a vast swath of the American electorate, gosh darn it, it's going to be done by Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg, yeah, or those fine folks at Apple or Google.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, yeah.
Bill
I mean,
Gates, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe everybody should just start using Google Circles again. I don't know.
Does it even still exist?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
But so yeah, this is what the bill is. 350 people in Congress voted yes on it. Two of our reps in Western Massachusetts didn't. Richie Neal, surprisingly, and Anne McGovern. They both voted no, along with Diana Presley and a few more of our Massachusetts contingent. And now it's gone to the Senate, and who knows what's going to happen there. This is really interesting because it's new ground. We don't know if this bill will pass muster in the courts, because you know ByteDance is going to fight it. We don't know if this is going to work, and this is giving the Congress or the country power to ban an application, because it specifically says an application. Ban an application they don't like.
Right. And I do specifically an application isn't something that's been judged on First Amendment grounds, but certainly, you know, this could easily be a, you know, freedom of association kind of concern.
Oh, yeah. There are definitely First Amendment issues that are going to pop up here.
Also, and remember, since corporations are people.
Oh, God.
This could qualify as a bill of attainder. which is passing a law specifically to mess with one person.
Yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to pass a law saying genre is illegal, an enemy of the state or whatever. You can say
Barry like, did that, but
right. Well, sure. But I mean, like, the idea is that you can say these activities are bad or people who belong to, you know, this organization or whatever, but that's not, right. You know, but people don't have to do that and they can stop joining, belonging to that organization and everything. So, you know,
I don't know. I mean, if I was actually I was on TikTok and people on there are a lot of people are flipping out. And they're thinking that it's going to happen soon. People are saying, like, follow me on YouTube if this goes down, everything. And one reason I wanted to talk about it is to say, calm down. It is past the House. Then it has to go on the Senate's legislative calendar. It has to go through committee in the Senate. Then it has to be voted in the Senate. But if the Senate wants to change anything, then they can vote on that. And then it has to go back to the House. And they have to vote on that. And then it has to go to Joe Biden has said that he's going to sign the bill, which what?
Dark Brandon's got a dark Brandon.
That's not, that's just being Brandon at this point. Like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're being an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need the youth vote.
And let me say this in the appropriate tone. Let's go, Brandon.
Ooh, dang.
FCC can't get me for that.
Nope. But the he needs the youth vote, and the youth vote is leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that as we get closer to November, more people that have a connection with younger people on TikTok or on YouTube or anything start saying, please just, if
hold
you don't
your nose.
Like, yeah. No, not hold your nose. Like, go vote for local people if you don't want to vote for him.
Oh, okay.
Because that might be a foregone conclusion at this point. Like, he's done so many things that have upset people that are under 60. You know, like, we I'm in my 40s. You're in your 30s.
Give or take 2 decades. Yeah.
And we're thinking like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Do I do that? Like, what are we going to do? We both voted uncommitted in the primary. Like, this is a
trend which continues even as Mr. Biden sewed up the nomination. There was, what, another 50,000 more people, I think, was it Oregon? Washington?
I don't know.
I forgot to write it down. That was very clever.
It's, I mean, at this point, delegates don't really matter.
Right. No, but it's tens of thousands more people continue to vote like, nah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's someone said like the Democrats are being the perfect circular firing squad. Like, what are you doing? You're ruining everything. You know, it's so this.
Well, apparently an 81-year-old man is a little out of touch.
And
And it's worth remembering that whatever else one wants to say about Joe Biden, he is just one person who holds an important office, but not an omnipotent one. Like, he doesn't control the Democratic Party. Yeah. He has major influence in it, sure, but he doesn't control it. And I don't think, like, I really doubt that if it had been up to him, he would have been like, you know what's a really great idea for Adam Schiff to basically inflate the campaign of a Republican.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean,
I want to bully Adam Schiff.
Right.
I want to throw Adam Schiff in a locker.
Because this had the effect of giving a headwind to Republicans on ballots all over the state, mm-hmm. which hampered I don't know if it's truly scuppered, but it certainly made things more difficult for the Democrats to hold close seats in California and maybe make headway in flipping some others and whatnot. You know, it's a Democratic stronghold. Republican,
kind of.
It is.
No, I mean, like, state, like, within the state, there are still, like, some major, like, crazy Republicans that...
Oh, sure.
You know, like, that go to the state house and things like that.
Sure, but the Democratic Party absolutely controls the state government and has the lion's share of the various representatives in Congress and so forth.
Yeah.
Which incidentally happened as a result of them ending partisan gerrymandering.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, guess what? It turns out that on average, about 55% of the people in this state like to vote for Democrats. And since it happens all over the state, you know, it washes out that more of the state winds up being Democratic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, because they have such an advantage, Republicans tend to only turn out when they're interested in their local race.
Yeah.
And I think they were much less concerned about that at the primary and so forth, or would have been, except suddenly there was an opportunity to stick it to the Democrats. And so they took it. So I don't think Joe Biden really controls a lot of this. I think there's sort of like it's almost like the Democratic Party is controlled by a coterie of really old, out of touch, rich people.
Oh yeah.
Who don't see that it's time to let loose their grip on the reins of power.
You're nuts. I don't understand what you're saying. Nothing. You just said words and none of them, like, it's like you said man, TV,
booga,
elephant,
whale.
Yes.
I know. You've never even considered such notions before.
No. The thing that, like, I'm not saying that Joe Biden is the cause or is in charge or anything, but him saying immediately, I will sign this bill.
Yeah.
That is a choice that he can make.
Absolutely.
Him not pushing harder for a ceasefire or trying to or even just talking about how it's not like how he's not happy with how it's going, you know, like actual negative comments about the thing, like Israel can defend itself, but you know, like he's doing now, you know, like he should have been doing that months ago, you know?
Yeah.
That stuff, those are things that he can do. He can't control Adam Schiff. He can't control the rest of the party.
And he can't control Israel. Let's be clear.
No, you know, nobody's expecting him to.
Well, right. But a few people online seem to be. And like,
people online are nuts.
Right.
I mean, I'm online, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Because just it is worth remembering that the United States has significant influence over Israel.
Yeah.
But in the end, they will do what they want to do. If you remember when we had Kol Nasrallah on, over a month ago now.
Yeah.
Should have her back. But, she pointed out, like, you know, the majority of the people in Israel, the majority of their electorate, on the whole, support the war in Gaza.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there are definitely people who don't, and they're marching in the streets and getting attacked by the cops, because some things, I guess, really are universal.
I mean, in that way,
death, taxes, and the cops beating up peaceful protesters.
Yeah. In that way, the October 7th was Israel's 9/11.
Yeah.
Because after 9/11, everybody was like, America, love it or leave it. Everybody was for wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
It's us or them. You're with us or against us.
Yeah. But
we've got lots of bombs. We feel we look weak. We're going to blow up those people over there.
Yeah. But if the European Union was supplying us with all of the weapons, and then some of the member countries were like, stop that, you know, but they wouldn't have the power to stop all of the weapons flowing or anything like that. But what America can do is say, calm down, you know, like at least like
stop blocking these aid convoys.
Exactly. Yeah. Making that port is good. Yeah. You know, like the stuff that he's doing now.
Yeah.
Is better. And he should have been doing that before. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
I've been saying since October that we should have sent a hospital ship.
Yeah.
Especially because Israel has destroyed you know, or severely damaged all of the hospitals in Gaza.
Exactly. And they could have. And they could have done so much things. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but they probably were trying to do a thing or whatever. But no, like
my understanding,
politically, it's not good for him.
Right. My understanding is that there are diplomatic efforts going on. I believe the official position of the Biden administration is return the hostages, sign a ceasefire, rebuild, negotiate for peace, two-state solution. Like, at least on paper, they're certainly working towards some good things. I mean, I'm not at all sure about the whole sort of ethnically based nation state and whatever, but it's...
That's here to stay.
Right. Well, the Biden administration is indeed working to broker a deal between Israel and Hamas. And it's not like Hamas are, you know, all wonderful people.
No.
You
know,
like they,
no, they're
they,
not.
They were offered a deal of a ceasefire for 6 weeks in exchange for releasing 40 of the hostages, I think. And they said no. So I don't know. I don't know. But I kind of like, I figure 6 weeks is a start. You know, like 6 weeks is 6 weeks of not fighting right now. I'd have taken that deal. But on the other hand, I wouldn't have sent off a whole bunch of people to go off and kill folks.
Yeah. I mean, just getting back to.
Though I was intrigued to see like, you know, October 7th, apparently. Yeah, it was a success, except part of, you know, it happened in that way in part because the Israelis dropped the ball. And the Palestinians apparently there's some suggestion that it wound up being as much of a slaughter as it was because there wasn't the resistance they expected. So it's like, hey, we did the thing we were supposed to do that took all day and it's only noon. Want to go running around shooting guns? Sure. You know, Hamas wasn't prepared for actually having to operate like a military and like an operation or whatever, you know, because they're a bunch of enthusiastic teenage resistance fighters and whatever.
I mean, let's not give them like too much.
Oh, I'm not trying to give them. I'm not trying to give them any
horrible monsters.
Well, I'm not trying to give them any credit, but like they went from we're going to hit some Israeli military targets to let's just run around and shoot up a music festival. And it's like, well, that's.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But I mean, just that we the United States can't control for that. We can't control Israel. We don't own Israel or whatever, you know, but we are more powerful than Ireland, who has been vocal about this for months. If we did that, just politically for the Democrats.
I think it's worth noting that Chuck Schumer, the senior senator from New York.
Yes, I was wondering when we could talk.
Right. I don't know if you want to take a break in a moment, but Chuck Schumer has mildly criticized Israel.
Yes.
I forget the exact terms, but basically he called out Benjamin Netanyahu, said it was time for him to go, that he wasn't doing a good job as prime minister, and Israel should consider replacing him. And the response has been pretty negative from Israel, which is kind of fine, whatever. But
yeah, because
including from the opposition, but just Chuck Schumer is saying, Israel, you're going too far. The Netanyahu government is out of control. I'm like, wow, that's a lot to say from, you know, influential Jewish senator from New York.
Highest ranking Jewish senator.
Well, senators are all the same rank in the
end. I mean, like he's the majority leader.
He's the majority leader. He's an important figure in the U.S. government.
In the majority, like.
Oh yeah, no. He's important.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
and he's Jewish. So I mean,
he's like the speaker.
It's not
some schmuck like me in the Senate.
Pretty much.
I mean, just
it's not a
legally. It's not the same thing. But
yes,
you know,
exactly.
Like,
that's all.
That's kind of like his position. He is the main voice of the
he's
majority.
The shot caller for the majority party in the Senate.
Exactly.
Yep. So on that kind of note, let's take a moment to play some PSAs, promos, and station IDs and keep the FCC happy. And we'll be back with more civil politics on Valley Free Radio in just a couple of minutes. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Northampton Community Music Center provides quality, accessible music education to more than 1,000 members of the greater Northampton community. Hi, this is Jason Trotta, Executive Director of the Northampton Community Music Center. Our scholarship fund helps those with limited means access affordable music instruction and has never turned away a qualifying applicant in its 33 years of existence. To find out how you can help, please visit our website at ncmc.net.
Hello, everybody. I'm DJ Panic, host of OK Asia. I bring you a wide selection of Asian artists, combining genres like rock, pop, hip-hop, and R&B every Saturday at 12 a.m. with a repeat show on Mondays at 1 a.m. on Valley Free Radio.
Hi, my name's Leo, and I use he, him, his pronouns.
Hi, my name's AJ, and I use they, them, theirs pronouns.
Did you know that sex is your biology and gender is how you identify?
You can't assume someone's gender.
Based on their clothes.
Based on their hair.
Based on their voice.
Who they hang out with.
Who they're attracted to.
Ask me my pronouns!
Brought to you by the PVPA Student Group for Gender, Sexuality, and Diversity.
For some kids, home isn't a safe place. And in these times, access to trusted adults like teachers and counselors is limited. I'm Kara McElhone, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center of Hampshire County. Our mission is to prevent and end child abuse in our community by providing safety, healing, and justice. The Children's Advocacy Center is open in providing resources to children and caregivers throughout Hampshire County. Please visit us online at cachampshire.org or call 413-570-5989.
Dear Massachusetts, marijuana is now legal for adult use. Keep your kids and pets safe by keeping all cannabis products in child-resistant packaging. Store your cannabis in a lockbox out of sight and out of reach from your children, and teach them that cannabis and alcohol are for adults only, and that prescription medications are only meant for the person they are prescribed for. Brought to you by the Northampton Prevention Coalition, working together to protect the developing brain. NorthamptonPrevents.org.
There's nothing like being in the same room at the same time, sharing your experiences with other women. At Cancer Connections Breast Cancer Support Group, we can laugh or cry. With our burdens lifted, even for a little while, we can go back to our lives better able to handle dealing with cancer and all it entails. Go to cancer-connection.org to learn more or to donate today. Cancer Connection relies on local donations to make its services free of charge.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton, Massachusetts.
I tried to quit on my own, but it never worked. I came to my first NA meeting and didn't know what to expect. I heard people talk about the same feelings I had and knew I wasn't alone. Recovery happened for me in NA. It can happen for you, too. Call Narcotics Anonymous toll-free at 1-866-NA-HELP-U or log on at newenglandna.org.
And the Ides of March have come.
Aye, Caesar, but not gone. Welcome back to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio.
Why are we like this?
WXOJLP. It's Shakespeare, man. WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow. We are celebrating the 2068th anniversary of the assassination of a tyrant and despot and famous self-aggrandizing propagandist, Julius Caesar. And you know he was good at it because you've heard of him. One of the most famous people in the history of the human species.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was quite something. Like, there's a reason why his family name, they were the Julii, but Caesar is one of sort of the family names, and it's like, yes, the Caesars, the Kaisers, the Czars, all of that. It just became synonymous with
salads.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's why they offered him a crown three times, and he didn't take it anyway. Yeah. So Yeah. So we could offer Joe Biden a crown. I don't know if he'd take it. Trump definitely would. He wouldn't even have to finish the sentence. I'm waiting for them to make one of those little red hats into a crown, and he'll be.
I don't know why they haven't done like put a Burger King crown over him, like giving him a, like a Jughead hat.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. It's something he suppose he might think look dumb. Who knows? It's hard to tell what's going on in that poisoned brain. Speaking of poisoned brains, I want to just shift for a moment. It's a story that I don't think is going to get a lot of play here in the USA. It's probably not going to get a lot of play in the United Kingdom either. But, you know, it caught my eye. Because I follow a certain amount of politics and from, you know, Great Britain and so forth, and pay attention to the really cool, great radio host, James O'Brien over there. And he linked to an article that was in The Independent, UK, you know. Apparently, Kemi Badenoch, who is the Minister for Trade and Development, a Tory. So she announced a... Are you ready for this? A trade deal between the UK, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and the great state of Texas.
Cool.
Now, you might be wondering,
Can
Texas sign trade deals?
I mean, I'm not.
Right, because you know they cannot.
They're a state.
Right.
And they're the little country that couldn't.
Right.
They exactly. Try so hard.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, they try so hard. It's in Texas. Oh, good for you. You're trying to be a country. Oh, you're trying to have your own electrical grid. Oh.
You're so cute and widow.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or so- just leave us like Dallas and Austin, please. Just. Move everybody that doesn't want to go with you out and then leave and see what happens.
I mean, look, if Texas really doesn't want to be part of the United States anymore, I suppose we could see if Mexico will take them.
God, no, they wouldn't. Why would they?
Fair question. I don't know. Actually, there is a lot of great stuff in Texas, a lot of cool people, but... Yeah, it's not being well administered. And this is a kind of an example of that. Now, it's a particularly egregiously dumb thing and an example of how the press in the United Kingdom is particularly bad, because the headline in The Independent was like, you know, UK signs trade deal with Texas. Whereas, like, if you look at the Associated Press, I mean, you had that headline earlier, John, and it was something much more, I don't know, grounded in reality. Can't remember what it was.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. but basically, you know, because they can't actually sign a trade deal because it's going beyond interstate commerce. It's any kind of foreign policy thing is entirely a federal matter. So it's basically just window dressing. It's kind of the same way if, you know, like, you know, like, you know, Springfield is the sister city of, I don't know, Le Havre, France or something. I don't know what it's the sister cities of. But, you know, just that whole like, you know, oh, yeah, sure. We're going to have a thing where we're going to like, you know.
I found it.
Yeah.
UK and Texas pledge closer trade ties. A wider deal with the U.S. government has stalled.
Right. So. Pledge closer trade ties is basically, you know, people, officials in the UK and Texas will go on some taxpayer paid junkets. And they might put up, they might have a few ribbon cutting ceremonies to like put up plaques and things, but it doesn't really make any difference. Or at least nothing serious. I mean, I suppose like it could be like, oh, well, UK company can have a tax break or something. But the UK government is so desperate to cover up the massive economic damage the Conservatives inflicted on the country by carrying through with Brexit. So, you know.
You wanted to bring this up when Sue wasn't here.
There's that. Yes.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue. Sorry. Brexit has been a disaster. It's an absolute clown show. Yeah. But also, I think there's something a little insidious about it because, you know, Governor Abbott has been sending out Texas law enforcement and state National Guard to put up razor wire and, you know, basically booby trap the Rio Grande, trying to turn it into like a moat. I'm surprised they haven't put in, you know, electrified sharks or something.
Yeah.
Sharks with freaking lasers.
Yeah. He's turned the Rio Grande into Kevin McAllister's house.
Right. Yes.
And it's not good because they're not like people crossing aren't the, I forget what they call themselves. the wet
Joe Pesci.
The wet robbers or something.
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. That it's
I've never
terrible.
Actually seen that movie, so I don't know.
Wow.
I was too old when it came out. It didn't look
no
that interesting
too
to me.
Old for Home Alone. My God.
Hey, what's that?
Stop yelling at clouds constantly.
And that's my point. I was yelling at clouds when that movie came out. Was it 20 years ago? 30?
30 at least.
Right. I was doing it back then.
It's early 90s.
Early 90s when I was fresh out of college, I was like, meh! I've always been a cranky old man.
Apparently.
With my trousers up around my rib cage and so forth. Anyway, yes, exciting banter for everyone. But just Governor Abbott has been sort of pushing this sort of secessionist undertone or murmuring for a while. And it's this is just more of the same. This is more of the sort of that defiant attitude. It's like a thing that they can do to sort of play into to cosplay like they're a real separate country without actually having to do anything.
Yeah. Because doing things is hard.
Well, doing things is dangerous.
Yeah.
Like I cannot even imagine just all the things that would go wrong, would have had to have gone wrong and then would go wronger. And things, the wheels would start to come off in ways I can't imagine if Texas were to actually like try and formally secede, you know, and stuff.
Because, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
How would the U.S. military break down and just all like actually it's one of the reasons I mentioned this also is like, you know, the U.K. Had its own currency still, like maintain that even within the European Union.
Yeah.
But can you imagine you're like, OK, well, now that we're a sovereign country, we're going to have our own money. Where's that coming from? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not like, you know, and, you know, the tax revenues coming in, like the U.S. government's not going to send their stuff anymore.
Yeah.
They probably might. They might want their things back.
It's another example of catching a car.
Very much so.
What are you going to do with it? Also, it was just at a stoplight. You're being dragged behind it.
I suppose one thing one might do is accidentally put it in reverse, drive it into a lake, and then drown because you can't get out of it because it's not well designed. You know, like
how's the dog doing? If, you know that the Republicans are the dog.
I know the Republicans are the dog.
How's the dog inside the car?
I'm thinking of that example because I think it was Elaine Chao is the name of the woman who's sister of Rosalind Chao, the former
former transportation
secretary.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Well, her sister died in her Tesla recently.
Yes.
Because she, you know, it's easy to screw up going from forward to reverse. She backed into a pond and then she couldn't get out. And apparently, when rescue workers arrived, they couldn't bust the glass fast enough to save her. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want in any way sound gleeful that a 50-year-old woman died badly. Like,
Jesus.
That's just, but I just, this is, you know, like, this is happening in Texas where they make Teslas, where Elon Musk moved his company because he wants to be part of the kind of thinking where it's like, you know, let's put up the razor wire. Let's be scared of people from Mexico. Let's do
deregulation.
Yeah. Let's have a power grid that just absolutely, you know, craps the bed in a winter storm and costs people thousands of dollars, and do fake trade deals with the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, and just speaking of Elon Musk, because he's so did you see the little kerfuffle with Don Lemon?
No, what happened? No.
So as you, Mr. Lemon, a longtime reporter on CNN, and I remember you're not the hugest fan of him, but he's not. He had his moments.
I have been watching Don Lemon since I was a kid.
Right.
Like on CNN, like he was.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking he doesn't look that old.
I've been watching him for a long
time. I believe you. I'm just like, he's aged well. Anyway. I mean, so yeah,
it's black. So
don't crack. Yeah.
So I've been watching for a while, and he was a very good fact based reporter.
Mm.
And then the last like 15 years, 10 years, he went like off the deep end, and he went back and forth between like the voice of the little guy and tap dancing, and it was very, very, very strange. So at the end, it was just, dude, what, you should have retired like years ago, man. Like, what are you doing? Like, those are my thoughts.
He's doing his own show. Like a lot of people are spinning off, but he signed a deal to do it exclusively on Twitter. And
what?
Yes, he has a contract. Sorry, had a contract with Elon Musk to do this. So here's the thing. Just before they launched, which I think the plan was to do that next week, he did an interview with Mr. Musk.
Oh, no.
And after the interview, Mr. Musk tweeted, the deal is off.
He actually asked him questions, didn't he?
He did. And I saw a clip of it, and it was astonishing because Don Lemon, I don't even remember the questions, but he was asking sensible questions about, like, you know, the companies he runs, and, you know, like, hey, you know, Twitter seems to have like issues with, you know, trolls and, you know, Nazis and so forth and hate speech. You know, it's, you know, here's this problem. Here's this thing. What do you say to that? And Musk responded, I don't have to answer these questions. And, and it's like, yes. I mean,
technically you don't.
No, you absolutely don't. We know you don't. This is an interview. You haven't been subpoenaed.
You're not in front of Congress.
Right, exactly. This isn't a criminal trial and you're required to give evidence or something.
Oh my God.
It's not even a lawsuit, though. I would not be surprised if the family that's worth billions of dollars is bringing a suit against Mr. Musk and his company before too long for losing their sister.
That'd be cool.
I'd be tempted to do it, and I, you know, they have far more resources than I do. And yeah, it would be sort of a darkly comic silver lining out of a terrible personal tragedy.
It would just result in a settlement, and nobody would hear about it again.
Yeah, probably.
It would be a sealed settlement.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the other side would like threaten them with something. Even though they have the high ground, it's rich people fighting. It's not going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen because in the end,
well, it might happen. Nothing will come of it, really.
Well, it's the same way that there's a lot of stuff that didn't come out after Fox News settled with Dominion.
Exactly.
Because like, oh, this is really bad. So yeah. They just gave them enough money. They were like, no, we don't have to make it public. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just all of this is so exhausting, and I love doing this show. It's great, but just in general, it's really sometimes confusing about how people act and react to things and why they do the things they do. You know,
I do. I often find people confusing, I have to say.
I don't know. Well, the one last thing before.
Sure, we got a few minutes left.
The case in Georgia.
Yes, the RICO trial against Mr. Trump and others for attempting to subvert the election there.
Yeah.
So they still haven't actually set a firm trial date in that case, I believe. There have been two developments. One, the Fani Willis, the DA who's overseeing the trial, is continuing on. Her office is continuing to operate, to conduct the trial. The outside consultant with whom apparently she was carrying out a not quite publicly acknowledged romance, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he apparently has resigned because the judge said, look, the appearance of impropriety is such that he should resign. And he did. I don't disagree with the judge.
Nathan Wade.
Thank you.
By the way.
Yes. I don't want to criticize Ms. Willis and Mr. Wade because I don't really know. There's a lot I don't know about what happened there. You know, they're people who formed a connection and they met at work and they fell in love or not. I don't know. But I mean, you know.
Yeah. They had a relationship.
Right. I'm fine.
Maybe have. I don't. Who knows? It doesn't matter.
Right. And that's sort of ancillary to this important trial. But I understand, to quote another aphorism, Caesar's wife must be above reproach. So, okay, fine. You know, I don't think that's the end of the world. It does mean that we cast an even bigger side eye at one Justice Clarence Thomas and others of his fellow members of the Supreme Court for their antics and naked cash grabs. But I get it. The case is still proceeding.
Yes.
The other thing that happened there was that the judge threw out six different counts, and I think on fairly sensible grounds.
Yeah.
There were a count against Mr. Trump and five other defendants for basically the count was trying to get an official to subvert or go against their oath to uphold their oath of office to uphold the U.S. and Georgia state constitutions. And the judge said, okay, that's, you know, you've done most of the work here, but you haven't explained exactly how, like what part of the Constitution, you know, like you got to be more specific about this because whoever is preparing for this trial, you know, one of the things about, preparing, you know, your right to defend yourself in court is they have to actually tell you, like, this is what we're charging you with, you know?
And the judge was like, no.
Right. Well, yes. And they're like, this isn't sufficiently clear of, like, what exactly did you do and how exactly does that subvert one's oath? Like, for example, if I accused you of armed robbery, you'd be like, okay, where, when, what was the weapon, what did I steal?
Also, nuh-uh.
Exactly. But, you know, I have to actually, if I'm, you know, trying to bring this case, I actually have to sort of lay out the full thing. Like, you did this thing, and by doing this, you're taking something that isn't yours, you know, whatever. So saying, like, by making that perfect phone call, Mr. Trump was trying to get, you know, the Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, to try and subvert this part of his oath to uphold this part of the U.S. or Georgia state constitution. And they didn't do that. So
right. They
might well revise the charges and come back and try again.
Hopefully they can do that. And it wouldn't. And if Trump wins, he couldn't affect it or something. I don't know. Anyway,
it is a state case. So no, he can't directly make it go away.
I didn't ask.
Same with the trial in New York, which has been delayed, by the way, till mid-April. That's the Stormy Daniels case.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah,
the hush money.
Right. And that was delayed because the federal prosecutors in New York finally released a whole bunch of documents they've been holding on to about their investigation of Michael Cohen and so forth for that whole matter. And so both sides agreed to a short delay because it's like, there's 100,000 pages of documents. We got to be able to look it over to make sure that there's nothing in here that we don't, you know, that you know, to be ready. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's justice. Yeah.
I didn't ask you about this during the break. I forgot. But
okay, yeah.
If I can say something before we before we go. Hold on a second.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So, I wasn't able to say it last week because I forgot, but the creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, has passed away.
Yes.
And Dragon Ball started in like 1984 as a manga in Shonen Jump. And it has obviously become one of the biggest franchises in the world. Everybody recognizes, at least like if someone says like Goku or something like that.
Super Saiyan. I watched half an episode. I found it baffling, and I stopped trying to watch it. And that was 20 years ago.
Oh, I can fix that for you. But anyway,
it is really caught. I didn't realize just how strong a following it has amongst African Americans.
Incredibly, yeah.
Yeah.
But just when it came to America, through Funimation and was aired on Cartoon Network, it was a part of hundreds of thousands of people's childhood. It has introduced people to being fit, being more anime, into just being a better person. There have been so many stories about watching this show and just it improving their lives. So I just wanted to say that, and it's been, like, in mine too.
Okay.
It was very special. It is very special because there are still shows and games coming out. There's a new TV show in the Dragon Ball universe, like, coming out either this year or next year, that he was working on. He passed away. He was 68.
Yeah, cancer,
and
I think.
No, embolism.
Oh no.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Maybe he was like saving some nuns from in a fight, and someone hit him with a brick or something. I would say he's, but I just wanted to say that he was an inspiration, and Dragon Ball is going to survive for decades to come.
Well, I thank you for that, for sharing that. I mean, look, you know, we've name checked stuff like Star Trek and Fred Rogers and other art that's meant something to us and made us better as people. So I respect that. Didn't catch for me, but maybe it's because I was, you know, already 100 years old inside when they came to the U.S. So anyway, we do have to wrap it up here. So thank you for listening to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio. We got some music for you, followed by Subculture at 8, Table of Contents at 10, and OK Asia at midnight. We got a repeat broadcast Monday afternoon at 4, and we also have a podcast version of this going out over the weekend, so please listen to us all over again. But that'll do it for now. Thanks for listening. Good night. Civil Politics is a member of the Planetside Podcast Network. To learn more, go to planetsidepodcasts.com.